Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dan.
And I'm Kenny.
So, Ken and I grew up in a small town in Illinois as best friends who'd known each other since we were kids. We thought the world of each other, but our classmates viewed us as somewhere in between band nerd and class clown, which wasn't exactly a satisfying way to live through high school. As senior year approached, we started to ponder the very meaning of our own high school existence.
What if nobody remembers us? What will be our lasting impression? Will we have a legacy? With these questions hanging over us, senior year, we set out on a mission to make our mark and become hometown legends.
As teenagers, Dan and Kenny wanted to make sure their time in high school would be remembered for years to come. And as they moved closer to graduation, that need only grew stronger. So one day, they made it their mission to do something about it.
So we had heard about a playwriting competition at school, and just like that, we had an idea. We'd write a play together. But not just any play. We would write an epic Greek tragedy. We'd cast popular kids in all the starring roles to guarantee that everyone would attend. And by curtain call, we'd take a bow, the school would be cheering, and our names would be immortalized forever. It was a foolproof plan.
From PRX and Radiotopia, I'm Neil, and this is Mortified. Today on the show, we celebrate hometown heroes, teenagers who, for better or worse, make an indelible mark on the places where they grew up.
Neither of us have ever written a play before, and obviously neither one of us knew anything about ancient Greek theater. But you know what? We're going to do it anyway, and we were going to go all out.
We titled the result, Innocence of a Child, Guile of a Man. It was the tragic story of an innocent foreigner framed for murder. What follows are excerpts from a 37-page single space, five-act epic featuring no less than 25 characters, 30 scenes, and countless words we found in the thesaurus.
Helping us bring this play back to life for the first time since high school are tonight's members of the Mortified Community Players.
Let's give it up. Yeah. So tonight I'll be reading stage directions.
And I'll provide transitional music via a tin whistle.
We begin at the harbor of a tiny village. Suclesis, the harbor keeper, looks out onto the sea.
Ah, the harbor. Like a child, I love it. But like a dog, I command it.
As the harbor taker takes in the sights, a mysterious foreigner named Farron steps off of a boat and onto land. He's wearing a brooch that his terminally ill mother had given to him.
Huzzah!
is the grand city state my mother has preached to me of since birth. For sure her words could not compare with the sight that my eyes behold, but for her countenance I cannot say the same.
He dances joyously. The harbor keeper watches over.
What pleases you so much, clown? The cerebral act would be to leave here before the locals unleash a whipping upon you. This is not some juvenile playing field for one's imagination to run about.
The clown, I am mortal. And I will not masquerade as any other. Perhaps your dialogue is just a reflection of your own narcissistic self-beliefs.
You come to my harbor and insult me?
I did not intend on degrading a soul, nor was I searching to instigate a rumpus. I only wished to befriend the citizens of this storied state.
The harbor keeper grabs Farron's collar. Huh?
You will not steal my honor from me in the sanctuary of my own harbor, boy.
My mother.
Farron runs away, clutching the brooch his mother had given to him. Later that night, Farron takes a walk and once again encounters Suclesis, the harbor keeper.
You again? Go back to the harbor, foreigner! Take a rest at the underbelly of the sea.
I am a humble man. I am a gentleman. Yet you draw a rage out of me that matches the fury of the brothers Axel.
The two men get into a heated quarrel. The sound of shoving. Then fists. Knuckles get bloody. Finally, Suclesis, the harbor keeper, grabs Farron by the collar and threatens him.
Perhaps you have learned a second lesson today. The ire of a boy is no equal to the wit of a man. And I will have your brooch to prove it. Ha-ha!
No!
Suclesis rips the brooch from Farron's neck. Act 2, Scene 1. It is morning. Farron takes a walk in the village, but there he encounters a corpse. He leans over to investigate. It is the body of Suclesis, the harbor keeper, the very man who had just stolen his brooch. A villager approaches.
What horror is this that I gaze upon?
A crowd gathers and begins to whisper.
Who is this man with the demon's touch?
Who is this he who has the hand betrothed in the syrup of life?
Tis the foreigner!
The crowd surrounds Farron. He looks down and notices he has blood-soaked hands.
No, I am draped in sorrow as any other.
This foreigner speaks the tongue of lies.
Farron continues mumbling as soldiers come and restrain him.
No, I didn't do it.
Lynch the beast!
No, but my mother...
So sadly, Farron is taken to jail to await his trial. The story from there becomes a sprawling ensemble featuring countless villagers, judges, Cretan soldiers, and criminals. And it goes on.
And on.
And on.
For over 2 more hours. 120 minutes of nonstop, flowery, self-important dialogue like this.
I have done nothing. I am as innocent as a calf who drank solely from his mother's breast.
And also this.
Does a lion to beg the gods for forgiveness? Or does the blood of his teeth need more remorse?
And of course, this.
Poseidon shows ill humor on this day. Sucleces, son of Thorgus, a nephew of the great Gethicus.
The weather will wane, and the griffins will roar. For surely, as I rise with Hermes.
Yeah. Trust us, we don't know what half of this means either.
So the summer before senior year, Kenny and I wrote this whenever we had a chance. And that meant writing during our weird summer job, which happened to be working construction.
So picture this. We're two teenagers with ill-fitting construction belts surrounded by hardened construction workers, secretly writing an epic tragedy on our lunch break using construction tools, pencils, and scraps of cardboard.
It was a hard summer. But we wouldn't have changed a thing. Because we knew that when our town finally saw our play on stage, we'd be remembered forever.
So we now take you to the thrilling climax of innocence of a child, guile of a man.
Act 5, Scene 6. Our hero Farron is on trial for murder. He stands before the prosecutor, Euclides.
It seems as if all of the evidence points to you, foreigner, as the culprit.
I plead only innocence, Euclides, for I am my mother's son. Of good deed and merit, and taking a man's life is beyond my grasp.
Your lies are as transparent as water, and your hands are coarse from mire deeds. What kind of man are you? Are you on wings? Did you drink a bit too much Strega prior to testifying?
I am not a man of puissance. Nor I am one of overindulgence. The only substance I act upon is truth. I ask you, Euclides, what would surprise you more, a statue that walked? Or a man who stood still.
So clearly the trial was about to get a verdict. And now, months after starting this crazy endeavor, on the night of the play's premiere, felt like our dreams of making a mark on this town were awaiting a verdict too.
So Dan and I slapped on a couple of dusty choir tuxedos and took our places in the balcony of the light booth. We were nervous, but we were ready. This was our magnum opus.
Would anyone show up? And if they did, would they like it? Or would we be laughed off the stage?
By the time the play reached its climactic ending, we had our answer.
We now conclude the courtroom scene. Just as things are looking bleak for Farron, the foreigner, the prosecutor Euclides, realizes that our hero was indeed innocent. And in fact, it was the corrupt judge who had committed the crime.
"'Twas you, judge! You murdered the harbor keeper! You did it so you could sell the harbor to the Cretans! You are the contamination in this city-state!"
Defiant, the judge bangs his gavel. Boom, boom. But it is too late. The judge sends Farron to the gallows.
"Why has Venus cursed me? Why? Mother, I am still but your child."
The prosecutor drops to his knees.
"Curse thee, so!"
As the curtain closed after the long Zeus cry out, we waited for the reaction. And then we heard it. Thunderous applause. People even weirdly cried.
But when it came time for the final bow, Dan and I didn't take the stage. We just snuck out the back of the theater.
We're not sure what the people of our small Midwest town thought of our play, but we do know that on some level, we realized it was more fun sitting next to each other, watching our imagination come to life, than worrying about what everyone else thought of us.
And to date, that is the last Greek tragedy that we've ever written.
That was Dan Brühl and Kenny Klein at a Mortified event in Los Angeles. And joining them on stage were actors Phil Battley, Mark Beltzman, Jennifer Marie Kelly, and Hal Lublin. You can check out Hal's great debate podcast, We Got This. And if you need a starting point, listen to episode 171, where Hal invites Mortified's own Dave Nadelberg on, and they debate the most important issue facing us today, which is, of course, what's the best talking dog movie of all time?
Do you like the stories you hear on the Mortified podcast? See it live. We've got upcoming shows in cities across the country. This week, you can catch us in Baltimore and Los Angeles. This spring, you can catch events in Portland, San Francisco, Oakland, Austin, Chicago, Brooklyn, DC, and more. Get your tickets at getmortified.com.
Now, not all hometown heroes get recognized for their contributions. Even if they did something so unforgettable to honor their place of origin that it deserves to become the stuff of legend. Among those worthy of such honors, Joanna Stein, whose high school tribute to her home turf was so epic and involved such an act of bravery that she should have a statue erected in her name. Until then, she's got this podcast, which is a close second.
Oh boy. My name is Joanna, and I grew up in Winnipeg, Canada. And when I was in eighth grade, I fell crazy in love with this boy. His name was Pasquale Pescatori. He was Italian. And you guys, he was gorgeous. He had long eyelashes and soccer legs, and he was a bit of a bad boy. He liked headbanging music, and on weekends he would throw these parties where there was drinking and drugs, and if you were a girl at one of these parties, you stood a really good chance of getting felt up. I didn't go to those parties. I played cello in the school orchestra. I was in the drama club. I had all the greatest hits of Air Supply. And I wouldn't have my first hit of pot for like another 7 years. But I was really, really confident. And so I signed up for the elective guitar class because that's where Pasquale and his delinquent friends hung out. My thinking was that he would fall madly in love with me when he saw what a sexy badass I could be on guitar, which I picked up really quickly thanks to the Suzuki violin method. Unfortunately, Pasquale skipped class more often than not, so he did not get a chance to witness my supreme badass sexy guitarness. Okay, so then one day our geography teacher, Mr. Palasek, gives us an assignment. We are to give an oral report on the settlement of the Red River Colony, which I'm sure you know would eventually become the megalopolis of Winnipeg, Canada. So, I decided to kill two birds with one stone. I wrote my report as a poem, and then I set it to music. To the most badass song that I could play. And then I played it in my class out loud. Could I have my axe, please? Thank you. Oh, boy. Okay. Here is my report. My report on the settlement of Winnipeg. It's dedicated to Pasquale Pescatore. Red River Colony was started by Thomas Douglas. He was the fifth Earl of Selkirk, a noble man. Thomas Douglas was so rich, he dedicated himself to helping all the crofters being driven from their land. Being driven to make room for the sheep farms. He went to Prince Edward Island, and in 1803, he established a colony of settlers. This plan worked out quite well, but he planned to meet the settlers, but got delayed because of his private affairs. Ooh, Stairway to Winnipeg. Oh, Stairway to Winnipeg. When he finally arrived, he found all of the settlers living like Indians and in wigwams. The next year, he sent more than 100 Highlanders to settle in Baldoon in Upper Canada. Ooh, Stairway to Winnipeg. Oh, 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 Stairway to Winnipeg. But this plan didn't work, as the land was too wet, and almost half of the settlers died of disease. But this plan didn't work. I sang it twice, because the land was too wet, and almost half of the settlers died of disease. La 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 la. Okay, now I keep going as I shred it away to my class. Please clap. Keep going. I can't. I don't. Please clap. I have to. I keep going. So as I shred it away, I kept shredding on my six-string nylon guitar. I remember looking out at my classmates and my teacher and Pasquale, and their mouths were wide open with expressions of wonder and awe. And love. In retrospect, I'm pretty sure it was confusion, disgust, and revulsion. Red River colony went through so many changes and is now the nucleus of Winnipeg. I want to tell you that I wish I could tell you, I should say, that when it was over, there was a slow clap in the back of the room. Pasquale rushed to the front of the class, scooped me up in his arm, and took me out to the soccer field to finger bang me. Sadly, that did not happen. It would take another 4 years, but Pasquale would take me to the prom. Yeah. Yeah. And he would finger bang me. But not on the it wasn't on the soccer field. It was actually on the paddle wheel queen as it cruised up the banks of the Red River. And I'm pretty sure we danced to Zeppelin.
And this concludes our tribute to Hometown Heroes. You can catch Joanna sharing that very song on screen if you watch our miniseries, The Mortified Guy. After several years, the series is actually leaving Netflix in early 2021, but it will be available for online rentals. And if you feel sad about that, well, you can just blame your favorite goddess.
Why has Venus cursed me? Why? Mother?
If you'd like to support Mortified, we have three great ways to show us love right now. First, tell your friends on social media about an episode of this podcast that you loved. Second, you can subscribe to Ooh, You're in Trouble, our new educational podcast for tweens and parents. Hear true stories of kids defying authority as we explore why we sometimes break the rules and what we learn when we do. Third, you can purchase I Can't Believe I Did That, a hilarious game from the makers of Mortified. It's just like hosting a Mortified show right in your living room, and yes, you can even play with your friends on Zoom. Now available at getmortified.com/game. And for companies wishing to support our podcast, we would love that. Just email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. This series is a big team effort. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Hadley Dion, Dave Needleberg, and myself, Neil Catcher. Brooke Stone and Pierce Priscelli also produced Dan and Kenny's Greek play for the stage. End credit music by Snake Snake Snakes. Additional thanks to all the dedicated Mortified live producers whose work make the stage show possible. This has been a Mortified Media production for Radiotopia, a network from PRX. Until next time, I remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and you know what? We really can be heroes for just one day.